Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Really apologize for that being the intro to Professor Adrian Puren, Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning, Professor. How are you doing?
Morning. Yourself?
I am well, thank you. So actually very, very interesting. We were just chatting, and I know we spoke about it last week, about the quality of the water. The NICD still, your thoughts, just want to go back to that before we talk about COVID, in terms of the cases of typhoid fever and our water.
Yeah, so I think it's important that we keep track of that, and water quality is quite essential to monitor. And of course, trying to find sources of infection is really critical. So water sampling, it's not my area of expertise, but certainly water sampling is really critical in terms of not just identifying whether there are microorganisms that cause, for example, someone in a typhoid fever, but also, you know, in terms of the health of that water. In other words, is it relatively protective? If it's supposed to be chlorinated, or, you know, things like that, is it still relatively protective and safe for human consumption? So those are really important. And then obviously, as we said, you know, the fecal oral route is also an important scenario. So again, looking at sanitation, looking at hand hygiene, all those particular aspects. So I think it's the multiple approaches to try and ensure that one tries to understand and control these particular outbreaks, so that they don't become, and unfortunately I'm using the word here.
Don't say it. Okay, fine, you have to say it.
Oh, sorry.
Say the word.
Explosive.
Right. Right. I knew you were going to go with that explosive word. But yes, it is. So would you recommend, and it's not to make people panic, and it's not to make people hysterical, do you think that at a time when there is this disease around, that we should be a little bit more cautious and maybe boil our water, just make sure that we're drinking water from a respected source?
So I think we need to acknowledge that we have endemic circulation in the country, right, in specific areas, and I think that's where the focus needs to be. I think we usually do get reports about water quality. So again, I think one can be cautious, but I think at this particular point, as far as I'm aware, this has not affected water sources in major city areas, for example. So I think we just need to
keep an eye.
I guess keep an eye out, you know, evaluate the risks and take certain decisions around that. Yeah.
Okay.
And that the health authorities will keep us apprised as to any of the changes that are occurring, yes.
Right, and certainly we will try and keep listeners abreast of that situation. Let's talk about the new COVID-19 vaccine rules, because they were changed on Monday evening. Can you run through now what it means in terms of the mixing of the vaccines?
Yeah, so heterologous.
Yep, I can't. That's why I had to say mixing. I can't. Right.
Yeah, so what this means, and as you know, there have been ongoing discussions around the ability to select your vaccines in terms of specific outcomes. So I think that there's been many studies that have certainly shown that, for example, specific combinations will certainly lead to a high degree of protection against symptomatic as well as severe disease and outcomes. So what this means for South Africa is that now you're able to select, if you've had a, for example, a Pfizer, for example, you can, for example, then choose another vaccine, if, let's say, Moderna became available, for example, or the Zonkey trial, for example. It just escapes me right now. But you can certainly choose those particular combinations. I think there's been good studies showing that the heterologous selection will give you a high level of and protection. And the reasons for some of these choices may well be linked around, for example, the fact that it's vaccine availability as well, also vaccine hesitancy and shortage, as well as the scientific advancement in terms of understanding what the immune responses are. So it's not just not simply the immune responses, but it could also deal with those other two aspects around vaccine hesitancy, for example, vaccine availability, allowing one to select which vaccine choice you would like. And there has been a clamor in South Africa as it's thought that the Szonki trial limited one's choice, and I think this will now just alleviate or mitigate against those particular objections. I think the other interesting feature of these changes is the vaccine scheduling as well. I think if I read them yes. correctly, certainly shorten them as well. And as you know, the initial trials, I think, were probably around the shortened periods between vaccines in order to optimize responses. I think some of the decisions around lengthening the periods was really around the availability of vaccines, if I understood correctly. Whereas now, because there's such availability of vaccines, one can certainly go back to these shortened regimens, in other words, and that will still provide optimum responses.
There wasn't a change, right? So in other words, that goes down now from, I think it was 42 days down to 21 days. If you've had a Johnson & Johnson, you can elect to have a Pfizer. If you've had a Pfizer, you can have a Johnson. If you've had two Pfizers, can you get a Johnson & Johnson? Yes.
Yes, I think you can certainly do that, yes.
Okay, yeah. So that is a very significant and very positive change. They didn't announce any changes to the social distancing, masking, and a lot of people were anticipating that. Do you know why that didn't happen, especially considering countries around the world are now doing away with all forms of regulations?
Yes, I'm not sure. I think it may be linked. I'm not sure of the intricacies of this, of how to manage these, you know, the uplifting of the Disaster Management Act, for example, which is still in place. You know, if you uplift that, will you be able to have the necessary regulations in place in order to, let's say, keep masking on at specific settings or distancing, you know, those sorts of things? I think that it may well, if I understood some of the discussions, that's some of the complexities around that for the reasons. But again, I'm not privy to those types of discussions.
And in terms of kids under the age of 12?
Yes, again, I think that there probably will be discussions. So there's what is called a vaccine MAC, for example, and they what would make their recommendations based on current available information and provide that to the National Department of Health to make certain decisions in terms of vaccines, boosters, and so forth. But my sense would be that given the overall approaches in many countries, is really to vaccinate children under 12, this will certainly come along as well. We know, again, children do become infected, not to the same extent. They're not major contributors to morbidity, mortality, and spread. But yes, if you're thinking again about, you know, vaccine coverage on the whole, then yes, one should target one's populations throughout, regardless of age. But I think the focus still is, I think, for the moment at least, on the older age groups, where we do know there's higher rates of morbidity and mortality.
Last time we spoke as well, you were starting to gather information on the variant of the Omicron variant. And I think you said that was starting to increase significantly in South Africa. Is that trajectory continuing?
Yes, that trajectory certainly continues. And some of the recent work does show that despite that particular observation, that does not mean poorer outcomes, in other words. And there's not been, I think, a marked increase in hospitalizations and deaths linked to those particular outcomes.
And people that suffered from Omicron, do they seem to be protected against the variant, the sub-variant, rather?
I have not seen that type of data yet, to be frank, but I'm sure that we'll be keeping an eye out for that in terms of reinfections specifically, but I've not seen much data on that. I may have missed it. But
right. And that is where we leave it. Professor Adrian Puren, Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, talking to us about the new COVID-19 vaccine rules. It's 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.